You're going to get a mountain of different things that they show you and throw at you, and sorting out the facts from fiction. I'm not going to get into that today. But we've had to adjust. I think everybody in the entire world has had to adjust to some things that have drastically changed in the past couple months. And many people are wondering what's next. What's the next step for us? And so when that new normal terminology came out, I really sat before the Lord and I really was pressed into, what does that mean? What is the new norm actually going to mean? So I pressed in, I dug deep, and I found some things that I'm going to share with you today in this message. So what does the new normal mean? Is it a new set of rules and guidelines that we're all going to have to be following without a specific voice behind it? Okay. For me, as I already stated, I preferred to actually go and seek the Lord, all right? And I encourage everybody to do the same. I think we all should do that. I think we have that connection with God and the ability to go before Him and seek Him and find out what He says about these things and not just blindly take whatever's coming before us, but actually go and bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you say about this, okay? Which is what I have done already. God gave me something that was profound, and I thought I couldn't help but share this with you guys today. So today's word is going to deal with this, but wouldn't we think it's better than going to, let's say, a government body or an official or somebody to explain to us what the new norm is, rather than go to the person who created everything new? The one person who knows what new means, because everything he created was new when he created it. He knows what new is about. He's the expert of new. If we needed a new expert on, you know, certain things, God is the new expert. There's nothing that he is not aware of. There's nothing new under the sun. So he knows everything that comes up that's new. There's nothing surprises. There's no surprises in the kingdom. Okay? So going to God and finding out what He is saying about the new that's before us, I think is the most wise decision that we can do as believers. And so, when it comes to any new normals for the church, if anybody's going to be the one determining what that is, it's going to be Him. And I think that we need to embrace that philosophy and that understanding that as kingdom people and as people who believe in God, we can't just embrace new normals as they roll out, but we really got to go and sit before the King and recognize that He's the one who sets the new normal for the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start today in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. I'll give you guys some time to turn with me. Okay? Alrighty, here we go. So therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. According to His promise. According to His promise. His promises are what we must always be fixated on. We have a responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to look at His promises. Everything we have comes through His promises. We live, breathe, eat, drink, sleep, do everything based on the life and what He provides us. And all that comes through His promises, right? So we get that right from the door in this scripture. And what are we told to do with that? We're told to look for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Now, some people might read that and think, oh, what does that mean? Is that, you know, revelations? Is that the rapture? Is that, all these end times things, right? Well, if you read Revelations and you get into the pre-trib, post-trib, all that debate, you can read it however you want. And I was having a conversation with a brother the other night and discussing things, and it's real easy to take things that you read in Revelations and go, well, that's what they saw, but did they know what a tank was? No. Do you think they might have described a tank as maybe like a beast? Maybe. Because they couldn't relatively understand what they were looking at because they didn't have anything to compare it to. Because these things have not been made yet, right? So in the same regard, this new heavens and new earth that we're hearing about right now could easily be right now where you stand today, this current time. And you go, well, how could you say that? Well, I look at where righteousness dwells. Well, does righteousness not dwell right now here in us? To those who believe? Yes. Christ's righteousness dwells in us, therefore righteousness is dwelling right now. So if we know that that part of the equation is fulfilled, then right now the new heavens and new earth that we could be looking forward to are right in front of us. If we open our eyes. And we understand it's according to His promise. So if we understand then that part of the equation, then you look at the promise and you go, well, then the promise is now. It's not something you have to wait for. It's current. It's happening. So His promises are now, and they're many, right? But what is our responsibility? Well, that was also covered, right? And what do we go to? We look at, let's see, what is it? I don't want to go too far here. Going to 11, right? Our manner of persons ought to be holy in conduct and in godliness. Okay. And then you go to 14 and it says, we need to be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So there's a responsibility and an onus on us as holy people to present ourselves to God in this manner. God wants us to be fixated and focused and totally focused on Him the whole time, okay, as He's preparing us for these new norms. So as we know, there's new norms that are in store because God, again, is the creator of all things new, and He's promising us new things. We also have to know that not only is He the one who's going to provide the new, but He's going to be the one who tells us, prepares us, shows us, reveals those things to us so that we understand it. It's not confusing or confounding to us. We know it's from God, and we know what it has purpose for in our lives. Okay? And so all that comes to say is then, what is the new normal? Right? I mean, if we want to know, we can ask the question, but I'll ask it for you. What is the new normal? Here's the answer. You are. You're the new normal, because there's something that God is building and purposing in you now, today, as a person of God, to be the new normal, if that's making sense. I hope that makes sense to everybody. See, God's made provision through His Son to transform us, not into our old selves, but into a new creation, right? So if we're already being transformed into a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? He's also then going to continue to guide us through that process through His Spirit. His Spirit leads us into all things. So as we follow the listening of our spirit man into the things that God's revealing to us and showing us, okay? And then guiding us through confirmation in every word that He's written to us and given to us as life, all right? All those things combine to give us the direction for the new creation you're to be, that new normal. As we put our faith and our trust in Him, He begins to establish that new norm. Now, for some people, you get saved and you get baptized and God starts changing your life right away. But is that the normal, or is that just a one-time occurrence? See, the new normal starts as godly habits, godly forum. You start to participate in more godly activities. You stop participating in ungodly activities. You start to talk different. You start to speak different. You start to act different. And everything around your life embodies a different approach to all of the what used to be normal, but now you are a new normal, so to speak. Okay? When we look at what man's provision is, and we compare it up to God's provision, man's whole path to new normal requires on the physical effort that we exert. What we can do, right? Not anything else, it's all forced on us. We have to change. We have to do things like the new normals we're doing right now amongst this quarantine in the pandemic. There's new norms that we are forced to do. We put on masks. We do the things that we're supposed to do. We keep 6 feet apart. Those are physical things that you just do. And it doesn't take really any effort to do them. You just do them, right? But what about the new norm that God has? See, God has us focused on Him. It's not on any thing that we can possibly do, because there's nothing that apart from God that we can do in transforming our internal being or transforming ourselves in a spiritual way that can be done out of my effort. I can't do it. He has to do it through me. So I focus my attention and my eyes on Him, the source of unlimited power and potential, right? That He possesses, and then He begins that process in me as I submit and surrender to His will. And that's through the spiritual. So we have two totally different ways of looking at this new norm. We can go the physical route and do it according to man's plans, or we can do things according to the spiritual route and what God's plan is for our lives and embrace the difference of the new norm that He has set before us. So what then does this new normal actually look like? And this is the exciting part. I'm excited. I hope you guys are too. So if you want to turn with me, we have a lot of things to go through in Scripture, but it's all of Psalm 71. The whole Psalm. We're not missing one beat. Give me a moment. There we go. I should put these bookmarkers in here. Make it faster. That's okay. So like I said in the beginning of service with our worship team, I wanted to present that first bit of Psalm 71. But I'm going to read through the whole psalm. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take and assess it completely. Because the first step of our new normal is all contained right here in Psalm 71. Starting at the top. In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By You I have been upheld from birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of You. I have become as a wonder to many, but You are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Your praise and with Your glory all of the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise You yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of Your righteousness and Your salvation all of the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Your righteousness, of Yours only. O God, You have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare Your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare Your strength to this generation, Your power to everyone who is to come. Also Your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like You? You who have shown me great and severe trouble shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue shall also talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. They are brought to shame, those who seek my hurt. So much, yet so good. Because the very first step to our new normal is our praise. First thing we do, right at the beginning, how do we get there? We put our trust in Him. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. What else do we do through this? You look and you see, what is he doing? Delivering me in your righteousness, causing you to escape. He saves you, right? He's giving you that commandment. He is your rock and your fortress. He delivers you out of the hand of the wicked, right? Out of the unrighteousness and out of the cruel man's hands, right? All these things. What else did he do? He upheld you from birth. He brought you out of your mother's womb. What is that? It's your testimony. It's what God has done. It's all the things that God has done through your life. Whether you knew him or you haven't known him, he is still building your testimony. He has created you, and he has created you with purpose, and he has carried you up until this day. He is providing you a testimony. And then what do we do? What's our responsibility? We entrust our life into him, right? We give him our life. We trust him wholly with every ounce of our being, right? And then also, going through all of those lines, you are acknowledging every step of what he has done. You're not forgetting parts. You're remembering what he has done, how he has done these things throughout those times. And here's the important part, right? My praise shall be continually of you. It doesn't cease. It doesn't stop. It's continual. Right? And what does he do? I have become as a wonder to many. What that tells me is that the marvelous things that God does in your life are not meant for just you to just have and hold and keep in secret, but you're to put them on display because you are a spectacle to the world. You are a wonder of amazement. God has done great things for you, his child, not just so that you're blessed because you are, but so that everyone else knows that this is the loving, kind, caring God that we serve. And how he takes care of his kids. And what he does for his children. Moving on. Let my mouth be filled with your praise. And with your glory all of the day. If we know that that's the God we serve. And we know that God is doing that continually for our lives. Why are we silent? Why do we hold back our tongue from praising our God and our King? Oh, well, because I'm in ShopRite and it's really, really awkward to just start singing praises in ShopRite. So, did God not provide you with the resources and the ability to have things that maybe you wouldn't have had? But now you can tell the world the good news of what Jesus has done. I think that's a perfect opportunity to sing his praises. And that's what this is talking about. It's not being ashamed of what God has done to the point where we are quiet, but rather that we shout to the Lord and give him praise and glory he's due no matter when or where or what is going on around us. Since when did the circumstances and standards of a world dictate what we're supposed to do as believers? Jesus didn't even do that when he walked the earth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees put all kinds of things in front of Jesus that he was supposed to do, and he didn't do them. Not that he was doing it out of strict rebellion, but he served God and King, not man. And he wasn't going to let somebody who needed to be healed so that they could sing the testimony of what God has done just because, oh, well, it's the Sabbath and they said you can't. Does this make sense? What else? He even goes in further to talking about the time of past as we move closer and closer and we grow older and older with God, what does God still do? Is he leave you when you get to a certain age? No. On the contrary, he stays with you. And not only that, but when we're weak and frail, here we know God still will cover you, even in those times. So even in the midst of a pandemic that says that because you're older, you're more susceptible, do you think God's not bigger than that? Do you think God's not going to have you protected and shielded from things that come against you? No. And when this is all said and done, I fully hope that those who have gained the victory, maybe because they believed in God, maybe it's because Christ has done great things in their life, that they wouldn't shy away from sharing and celebrating how God has kept them. Because he is the God of not just your past, but he's also the God of your future. Not just today, but every day. Every day that we give unto the Lord is his. Every day. Every day, his mercies are new. Every day, we have new life, new breath in our lungs, new floors to mop, right? We have all these great and wonderful new things before us that God has set before us. For what purpose? To keep us busy? No. To continually give us time and opportunity to praise him for who he is, so that all of the world can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Then on top of it, what else does he do? Like, this isn't enough, right? And all this is just one psalm. But he continually deals with our adversaries. Not just an adversary, but all of your adversaries. Anything or anyone who dares to come against you as a person of God and as a child of God and as an ambassador of his kingdom, do you have to raise arms? Do you have to pick up a sword and fight? Do you have to be right? Do you have to stand on your throne and declare this and that and fight for truth and fight for this and fight for this standard or fight for that banner or fight for this? That's not what this is saying. This is saying that God has already won. That God has already dealt with your adversary. That God has already silenced them. That God has already given you the victory. So when you know that all those things are done, what is there a reason to quarrel or fight or argue or get into all sorts of disputes? There is none. There is none. Are they going to keep talking? Probably. Do you have to listen? No. Why? Because Jesus already won the battle. It's like showing up at a fight that you know you already won. You already won the fight. It's been declared. You're the victor. The fight's over. You don't even have to go through the mentions of getting your gloves on and suiting up and getting ready for battle. It's already been decided. It's like a disqualification of sorts. So then all of that comes upon us. We know that we even have that dealt with through here. Then what do we get? What are we supposed to do? I love this. I will hope continually, right? It's so easy for us to lose hope. It's like the easiest thing in Christendom for us to lose. We don't lose our faith. We don't lose sight of God. We don't lose sight of what he's doing or how he's done great things in our life. But we do lose hope. Because it's hard, and I can attest to this, it is hard waiting on the things of God to come before you. Because God is perfectly timing everything for your life. Everything for your life. I can testify, right, to this in my own life. Being laid off, not having income, not having things, having a boat that sat for years and years and years, wanting to be sold, needing to be sold, never getting sold. No interest, no looks, no nothing. And in the time that I absolutely needed finances to pull me through and to keep me, God had it timed perfectly. Had it fallen in any other time frame, the money when I needed it wouldn't be readily available. Who knows? Would God have still taken care of it some other way? I'm sure. But hoping continually requires us to constantly know that God's timing is perfect. It doesn't matter what my timing is. His timing is perfect. And to hope in those types of things is to recognize that it's not about what I want or how much I want things to be convenient for me. Hope isn't about our convenience. Hope is about really trusting that God has it, no matter what it looks like, no matter the circumstances. And then what do we do with that? So we have that hope, right? We know we have that hope. It's hard to contain it. It's hard to keep it. But we praise him yet more and more. Not ceasing, but continuing, adding exponentially. Our praise doesn't get quieter, but it gets louder. And then our mouth tells who? Tells everyone of his righteousness, of what he is doing, how he's continually keeping you throughout the days, right? We testify of what he has done. This is all here, contained in this beautiful psalm. So what is this for us? Where do we go from here? Well, this is just the beginning of the new normal. The beginning of the new normal, in my honest opinion, should start with the praises coming out from his people. The praise of God Almighty being sung from the rooftops of how he has done great things, how he has done these wonderful things in your life personally or collectively as a family, or what he's doing next or what he's told you he's going to do next. Not in the sense of, you know, bringing end time judgment and all that stuff, but the things that you know God's taking care of you. We need to celebrate what God has done, and we need to tell everyone who has ears to hear what God has done, especially in the midst of the storm. See, that's how hope builds. That's how hope spreads. That's how hope is passed around to those who struggle or don't know or can't get there. Because they hear your praise, they hear your testimony, they hear what God's doing in your life, and they go, I don't have that going on in my life right now. I have dark things in my life. It's hard for me. But you know what happens? That hope starts to spread into each and every person that you start praising God for what he has done and what he's doing and what he's doing, and they start to believe that they too can have those things. And they start to build their hope and their trust in God. There's a purpose to this. We need to know that even in the midst of all the things that are going on in our life, that God is dealing with all of that. God is taking care of anything that is going to try to keep us from declaring his praise. That is what this is all about. See, the adversary wants to keep you silent. God's taking care of the adversary so you can continue to shout his name. He continues to prosper you. He'll continue to grow you. Every bit of that is just increasing your testimony. The new normal starts by the sound of our praise. And so my challenge is very simple for everybody who's listening with us today. Go tell everybody. Go tell the whole world. Go tell whoever wants to hear or listen. And even if they don't, so what? Go tell everybody you run into what God has done and what God is doing in your life. There's no reason not to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, it's part of our commission. But mostly, it's because every time we open our mouth and tell somebody about what God has done, not only is it keeping your hope alive, strengthening your faith, and giving you that testimony, reconfirming the things that God has done, but you're actually spreading the actual good news of Jesus Christ. You're spreading hope. You're spreading faith. You're building his renown in all of the world, which is what we're supposed to do. It might seem difficult, but it's really not. It's very simple. Has God not done these things? Has God not done great things in your life? Okay. Don't be silent. Don't be quiet. Don't keep it under a basket. But let it go. Literally, belt it out. Sing. Praise God. Worship him. tell people about the things that he has done. See, praise isn't just a song. Praise isn't just singing a song. Praise is actually declaring the wonderful works that God has done in your life with excitement and exuberance in emphatic nature that you are proud of the God you serve. You're not ashamed. I hope that when we press in more and as we go further with the new normal standard that God is developing in us, I hope that when we take the time to really meditate and focus on the things that God's doing in our life, that we will start to find the multiple things that maybe we missed that God has done. Things that maybe at the time we didn't think God was involved. But when we reflect and we really press into him, he shows you where his hand has been every step of the way. Covering, protecting, building, strengthening, and leading your life. Every ounce of that part that he is in is worthy of his praise. Amen. Amen. So Father, I thank you, God, for the word that you've given today. I thank you, Lord, for its provision. I thank you, God, that you continue to build our testimony, that you continue, God, to build our faith, God. You continue, God, to give us more and more in our lives, God, continually building our hope, continually filling our mouths with nothing but praise for you. Father, forgive us where we have not sung your name. Forgive us, God, for where we have not shouted your name from the rooftops, God, for burying our light under a basket, God. And Father, show us, loose our tongues, loose our lips, God, that we are not ashamed to sing your praises anymore, God. We will not be silent, God. We will lift up your name. We will give you the praise you are due, Father. We will lift the banner of Jesus high, God. And we will continue to celebrate everything you do, the seen, the unseen, everything, God, that you are doing as you care and take care of your people, Father. We thank you, God, that we are in your hands, God. We thank you, God, that the Church of Jesus Christ is covered by the blood. And we thank you, God, that you, Father, are covering us all, keeping us safe and well, Father, and continually building our testimony so that we will sing your praises forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.